All right, so we've been walking through a couple different series the last 7 or 8 weeks, okay? And so we've walked through, just for you guys, again, who haven't been here, we did a message on each one of the pillars, and we took the verses. You probably can't see that down there, but we got some verses underneath these statements, and we preached through those verses, and then we preached on what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And we've got one future disciple walking down the aisle right now, crawling down. Yes, that's awesome. And we went through and said that these key elements, we saw them in Scripture, and we taught through them. We preach what those mean, to walk with Christ, worship Christ, and to work for Christ. And so now as we're getting, basically, like I said, 60 days out from launch, I thought, what's the best way to use our time and to take a little bit of our Sundays and teach through something important? And so I want to do a multi-part series on the church. If we're going to be a church and a thriving church and a God-honoring church, then we got to know a little bit about what is the church. And I think there's a lot of misconceptions out there about the church. And so today we're going to just tackle on a very foundational level, what is the church? What is the church? And I think it's important to do that because you've got a lot of things going on in our contemporary society these days. For example, it's really cool to be spiritual but down on church. Like, I love Jesus, but I don't like his people. I don't do the whole church thing, you know. I'm cool with God and everything, but, you know, church, that's for losers. I never met a Christian I liked, okay? Those things may be true of your perspective, but we're going to look and see what God has to say about the church, what it actually is, because I think people get all mixed up about it. And then what happens is, you have Christians that are trying to reach people that don't like the church anymore, and then they start feeling bad about the church and feeling like they need to dress up the church and make it look really pretty so it's attractive to you again for all the people that didn't like church and would rather be just spiritual. So the church in our day has kind of gotten lost in the midst of kind of a, like I was talking about earlier, a little bit of a rock star, lasers and smoke and fog, and like, you know, if we could have a guy coming in like an astronaut suit and like out of a rocket ship, we'll do it because that's cool and it reaches people. And I just think we're embarrassed, it seems like. We seem like we're embarrassed of the church and what it is, and the fact that God's going to do something through the church, and he actually has designs and purposes for the church. And when I see those things happening, they're not necessarily bad things, but they're distracting things at times. And we get away from, are we really embarrassed about what God designed the church to be? So I want to get back today at God's design. I want to show you that astronauts isn't the only way to build a church. Okay? We don't need surf machines. We need the Word of God. And I think as we deconstruct some of these popular images of church and get back to a God-centered view, I think we're going to have our eyes lifted up just a little bit bigger today. And I'm hoping for that, okay? So like I always like to do, I'm going to give you something to run with today because it helps you kind of establish where we're going. And so it's always a big idea, and it's simply this, is that I'm going to define the church this way, very, very simply. The church is the people of God on mission for the glory of God. Okay, we're going to deconstruct that today. But that's what the church is. The people of God on mission for the glory of God. Some of the reformers kind of give a definition of the church like this, and it's going to be a little bit to take in, and so that's why I wanted to summarize that for you there and give you one sentence, but I love this definition, okay? So we've said it that the church is the people of God on mission for the glory of God, and this is what some of the reformers define church as. They said it this way. The church is a community of regenerated believers who confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And I love this intro statement. In obedience to Scripture, we organize under qualified leadership. We gather regularly for preaching and worship. We observe the biblical sacraments of baptism and communion, are unified by the Spirit, are disciplined for holiness, and then scattered to fulfill the great commandment and the great commission as missionaries to the world for God's glory and our joy. Who wants to come up here and say that from memory? Come on, Steve. No, I'm kidding. Okay, that's a big definition, right? But that's exactly, I think, if you can just sum it up and not take any parts out of what Scripture says about the church, I think that statement nails it. And we're going to break that down today and get after it. First thing I want to do, I want to take literally the big idea and I want to break it down as part of our sermon, and we're going to go right through 1 Peter 2, verses 4 through 10. But the first thing I want you guys to know and see is that, number one, the church is not a building. It's not a building. The church is not a building. And I think what happens is it gets confusing, because we always say, let's go to church. And you're not really going to church, you're going to a church gathering. Because what you're going to see is that the people of God, we're the church. And this is a really, really important distinction, okay? It's not a building. The church is not a building. Let's look at verses 4 and 5 in 1 Peter 2. It starts like this. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Okay? We're parachuting in here a little bit. So I want to give you just a second to understand where we are in 1 Peter. If I had it my way and we were teaching regularly and I had more than 20 or 25 minutes, we'd go through the whole book of 1 Peter. But I don't have that luxury. And so Peter is kind of unloaded a little bit on this glorious calling of the gospel. And I love some of the verses he uses. If you look at chapter 1, verse 13, he says to set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he's talking to believers who've been born again by the living and abiding word of God, like in verse 23 in chapter 1. And he's getting at this kind of thing where he's saying, if you're a believer and you've come to Jesus Christ by faith, then that faith should respond in action. And that there should be a life, your life should essentially mirror what you believe if you truly believe it. And so those who are obedient to the faith and to the word of God are demonstrating that they understand they've been saved, because they want to be like their Savior in that sense. And he's pulling this down and he's talking about the good news that's being preached. He's talking about the importance of the word of God. That is that which, since you've been born again in verse 23, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. If we're to be born again, if we're to become believers, it's the word of God that's going to change our hearts. And then it says that when we come to him, in verse 4, a living stone, he was Jesus, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. That you yourselves, you believers, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Okay? When you're looking at that, it's talking about a spiritual house. So together as the body of Christ, we're going to be built up. And Jesus, on his foundation, we're going to be built into this great spiritual house. And he says that there's an intention or a design factor in here that we're to be a holy priesthood, which essentially means that God has chosen a certain people and he set those people aside for his work. That's what it means to be a priesthood. So what we're finding out is that all who come to him are now given, in a sense, a new identity. And they're being joined together as the people of God in a spiritual household to be a holy priesthood. Or in other words, a people set apart for God's own plan and work. Okay? That's how the church is unfolding so far. So it's not a building. The church is the people of God. Let me give you a few things that happens, or a few things I hear a lot that you may run into and want to kind of be able to address. A lot of people talk about it that if you get into conversations, they'll say, I don't like institutional religion. I don't like the church for that, okay? Well, the church is not institutional religion. People may have a problem with an institutional religion or going to a church service or all that stuff, but like I said, that's a gathering of God's people, but that's not the church. Because when the church is functioning like it ought to be functioning, it shouldn't merely be known by its Sunday meeting. The church should be known by how it loves each other and gets the word out, and basically how it's living out the gospel on a daily basis. That's how the church should be doing it, and we should be doing it together, on mission, in community with each other. And so the church isn't just Sundays. The church is every day, us meeting together and growing together in our faith. The second is this, is that we talk about the building and where we meet, even if it's got stained glass and cool pictures of saints and all that stuff, it's not sacred in that sense of like the building itself holding spiritual value. Okay? The spiritual value is that the Holy Spirit of God dwells within the believer. That's the spiritual value of the church. And so the building is not Mecca. It's not like we worship it like we need to be at a certain place to worship. We can worship anywhere, including Raley's, because the power of God can show up even here. And the Spirit of God's alive and well when His word is preached, as people come and hear it and receive it humbly. That's what I love about the church. We are the church here. Do you guys believe that? We are the church here. Okay? You are the church. We all are the church. Okay, it's not the church when we're talking about it being a people and not a building. Here's another important thing. It's not like Burger King. Okay? If you're picking your church on a have it your way philosophy, where you're going through and just going, well, I'm going to do some church shopping. I had a few things on my list. I thought I'd check out the music style, see if I kind of like it and if it appeals to me and those kind of things. And then second, I'll go for the ambiance. I like a good ambiance, you know? Maybe something that, maybe I don't know, something cool, hipster, or something more traditional. I don't know, whatever it is. Or some people will be like, oh, I need a program to be involved. If they have good programs at that church, well, then we'll stay. And when you're talking about church and how to get involved in a church, a local body, be looking for people that understand that the church isn't the meeting, and it's not the program, it's not the music, any of that stuff, but it's the people of God on mission for the glory of God. That's what you got to be looking for. Are they into making disciples? Do they understand that they're living in community with each other, that their identity has been shifted? See, the reality is that church gatherings should be a hospital for sinners. It should look like a group of recovering hypocrites. We should understand our fallenness. We should be working by the grace of God to encourage each other in something greater, to pursue Jesus together and Christlikeness together. Rather than focusing so much on going to church, which is important, going to church gatherings is important, I'd rather have it be, let's be the church. Let's be the church. Let's look in the Bible and see what the Word of God has to say, and let's try to live that out. So it's not just pretty on Sundays, but it's true of our life all over the place. And that it's not just me, but you can talk to somebody else in our church or somebody else in the church, and you'll get a similar perspective, but you'll gain the same love, that same heart to want to see you grow, to want to see you come to the God, to know the gospel and believe in Jesus Christ. We want to be the church. Okay, the church isn't a structure. It's a people, right? Number two, it's a people. We are the church, like I said. We are the church. We're to offer spiritual sacrifices, verse 5 says. Spiritual sacrifices to God. There was one sacrifice, Jesus Christ, perfect, given in our place for our sin. Once and for all, He is the perfect sacrifice, and we offer spiritual sacrifices. And verse 6 says this, for it stands in Scripture, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. Okay, so He's defining the church a little bit more for us here, okay? So He's going from it's a people to it's a specific people. It's a Christ-centered people, right? Because God's saying, I'm laying in Zion a stone. He's talking about Jesus, the cornerstone. Chosen and precious, use that language earlier, and whoever believes in Jesus will not be put to shame. So if you're a part of the church is the people of God, literally true believers in Jesus Christ. If you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, you are part of the church. And I want to make this distinction right here because this is important, okay? So if a second, you look up here. When we're talking about the church, there's two elements of the church. There's a universal element to the church, and then there's a local establishment of the church. Okay, the universal element, when we talk about the universal church, we're talking about every saved person of every time, every race, every language, all that stuff of all time gathered together. That is the universal church. So basically all believers of all time in Jesus Christ. And then when we're talking about it on a specific level, like meeting here in Raley's, this would be the local church. Okay? Now the universal church is made up obviously only of believers. But in the case of the local church, there are going to be people that aren't always believers in the church. And frankly, they should be getting saved in the church and growing. We should see a lot of non-believers coming into the church, hearing the gospel and those kind of things. So the church, in its local sense, is not always going to be full of believers. So it has to be a distinction there. When we talk about the universal church, you're talking about all believers of all time, and that's including us. So if you're a true believer, you're part of the church at large. But if you're in the local church is made up of lost people. It is made up of people who don't know Jesus Christ. And so we're to stay true to the things that God's called us to in the hopes that they might hear the gospel and get saved. But he continues on. He doesn't just say that this is a people of God, Christ-centered, true believers. Verse 7, he continues and says, so the honor is for you who believe. Okay? So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble. He's talking about non-Christians here. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. Now, because of our time, I'd love to go in there and unpack all these verses that he's using. But one thing that's showing me and standing apart from everything else is he's talking about the difference between the people of God and people who aren't of the church is simply this. The people of God, the church, they obey God's word. Okay, the difference between the people of God and people who aren't within the church, the true church, the universal church, is that they obey the word of God. Okay? You can't say that you love God and you're for God, but you're not passionate about his church. That's impossible to say. Because God would say, you know, I mean, it's as simple as this. If you love God, you'll obey him. You'll love what he loves. You'll be passionate about what he's passionate about. And it's hard to argue in Scripture that God's passionate about anything else more than he's passionate about his church. He loves his church. Some of the problems that we find in church are that it's filled with people like us. The problem in church is that I'm in it and you're in it. You know, like it's like what I say at weddings when I marry two people, okay? The only problem in this marriage is the man and the woman. Okay? That is the problem. Does that make sense? The only problem in this marriage is the man and the woman. Bottom line on that is that we're sinners. We do sinful things. We're selfish. We're prone to ourselves and glorifying ourselves and to wanting to, into thinking only about ourselves. And even when we do things for other people, we do it for a selfish motive. There's all kinds of that rot in us. See, we're here as the true believers of God, obedient to his word. And then the first part of verse 9 says this. He says, but you are a chosen race. He's talking about the church here. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. And I love this. A people for his own possession. We are a people for God. In other words, we're going to be a church that God calls the shots in. We don't call the shots in. I'm not going to call the shots in this church. You're not going to hear what I want to preach. You're going to hear what God's word says, because I think that's where it's powerful and transforming. Can you believe that's my own phone? Everyone's looking going, what is that? It's mine. We're good. It's his. He's giving us an identity and forming that into us. He's telling us who we are. He's saying, you guys are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. He's using this really high, lofty language. You're a holy nation. You're a people for my own possession. In other words, you're God's. God bought you with a price. And he's called you together. He's adopted us into his family. He's called us together. And as the local church, we're to come together as one and organize under the premises of Scripture. We're going to sit under God's word. We're going to enjoy God's word. And as I mentioned earlier, we're going to do what God's word says. So if the church is to be gathered under qualified leadership as an elder team or board or however you want to see it, but under elders who lead us in doctrine and discipline and direction, then we're going to obey God and do that. And where the word of God says that we are going to gather regularly in a corporate sense for preaching and worship, then we're going to do that. And where the scriptures talk about observing the biblical sacraments of communion and baptism, we're going to do that. And we're going to do it passionately. We're going to get excited about it. Talk about why it's important. When the scriptures talk about being unified as a whole, a church, by the Spirit, we're going to pursue that. Where it says we're going to be disciplined for holiness, we're going to do that too. We're going to obey what the Word of God says. That's how it should be. Now, some of this could be scary for you. If you've had a bad experience in church, You're going, this sounds way overwhelming and too intense. And the bottom line is, I would hate for your frustrating experiences to dictate how you're going to view whether or not you're part of a church. Because the bottom line is, if you're around anyone long enough, you're going to eventually get in a fight with them. Is that true? Right? Let's go on a vacation for a week together, all of us. And if we have not one single issue, or if something doesn't happen to hurt one of our feelings, I will pay you each all the money that I have. Because it's never going to happen, and I would win that bet every time. Okay? Because I'm betting on the way God... I'm betting on our own sin, I should say. I'm betting on not what God designed. I'm betting on what has happened as a result of the fall. That we will naturally clash with each other. It's what happens to us when we're around each other long enough. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't give yourself to the church. And I love this quote because I think this says it. And you may be in this boat right now. And I want you to hear this because I think it's good. Charles Spurgeon said it this way. He said, give yourself to the church. A lot of people have trouble doing that. Give yourself to the church. You that are members of the church have not found it perfect, and I hope that you feel almost glad that you haven't found it perfect. If I had never joined a church till I had found the one that was perfect, I would have never joined at all. And the moment I did join it, if I had found one that was perfect, I would have spoiled it, for it would not have been a perfect church after I had become a member of it. Join us, won't you? The church is full of hypocrites. I hear that all the time. Yes, join us, won't you? Bring your hypocrisy in. Come on in. We're all that way. Messed up, sinners saved by grace, pursuing the grace of God in our lives to be transformed into His image. Join us, please. Oh, yeah, I got my feelings hurt. Me too. Let's get together. Because there's something about what God designed that we're going to grind against each other. It's going to happen. You got to get that grind. It's a good grind. And it hurts sometimes. And there's unnecessary grind. But God designed it that way. Don't press against the things God designed. It's not only for Him. It's not Him just telling you what you should do. It's saying walk in it because this is the best that I have for you. This is everything I've designed it to be. Okay? When God gives you a command, your joy is always situated right there. That's the greatest part about God. He gives you a commandment. You're like, hey, don't tell me what I can't do. And God's going, no, you're settling for a lesser pleasure. I'm trying to give you a greater pleasure. You think this is the best. I'm telling you this is how I designed it to work. So there's going to be some friction in the church. Let's love each other through it. Because the reality is, and this is true, is that there's not one single relationship in your entire life, not one lasting relationship that is possible without forgiveness. Not one lasting relationship possible without forgiveness. I love my wife a lot. But sorry is one of the most common words that I use around the house, okay? Love her a lot. I try hard, and I'm a perfectionist. So if I could earn it, I'd try really hard. I'm as religious as anyone, okay? And I'm saying sorry a lot. That's how it's going to be in the church. We're not a perfect people. And by you joining, you just messed it up even more, okay? But let's all get together. Let's get a little bit messy. Let's understand it's going to hurt a little bit. Let's get after this. Because Jesus is calling to something great. Maybe something you could think about too is where are you at with this? I mean, where is it for you? It's God's intended design to have us come together if you're believers in Jesus Christ. We want to be a part of a local church, but are you part of a local church? And if you're thinking, yeah, I want to be a part of this church, well then, yes, we'd love to have you. And there is a place for you here. And we want you to be a part of this church, okay? But that's something to think about. Are you a part? Okay, the thing about when you think of church as a building or church as a gathering, all that stuff, you know another thing that happens? You come in, you're very much a consumer in church. What does church have to offer me? I better get affected by the message. Something better touch my heart or stir me up and give me like a happy feeling inside, or I'm going to walk away and be disappointed in the church, and you don't understand the church. The church is not the service. There's a blessing to be a part of a service, but the church is the people of God, together growing in their faith, together on mission, together watching the sinful sides of us get shaved down to look more like Jesus as we're rubbing off of each other. That's how it happens. But are you a part? Are you actually playing a part in that? Or are you simply just kind of hanging out, stopping in every once in a while, kind of getting your church fix done or checking that off your list of religious things to do? That's not the intention of the church. God wants you in. He wants you to play a part. He's adopted you as a son if you believe in Jesus Christ, which is a free gift to believe and to receive salvation and a reconciled relationship with God. So he said it's not a building, it's a people, and they're on mission for God. Okay, they're on mission for God. The church, we have been given a calling, and it's to be on mission for God. And I love the way he says this in verse 9. Like I said, we're a people for his own possession. 9b says this, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Do you see that there? It's a big part of this. And I kind of touched on this earlier. I almost stole my own thunder, okay? I used this earlier. And what I mean by that is, you know how you're going to start proclaiming the excellencies of God? When you're stunned by the excellencies of God. If you're kind of like in and out with God, and just suffice it to say, if that's where you're at, your view of God is not big enough. And I hope that the roof comes crashing down in our church on a high view of God. High view of God. No holds barred. Scripture completely loose to do what it says about God and to teach us something about the nature and character of God that should just rock our worlds. Because at the end of the day, the church so often settles for something very pragmatic. Here's 7 ways to overcome depression. Okay? And then if you do those 7 things and you don't overcome depression, you're more depressed than when you started. Because those 7 things didn't stink and work, and you thought they were, because I thought those were the 7 ways to get over depression. When we go the pragmatic route, instead of saying, no, lift your eyes up to God. Lift your eyes and see who he is. Lift your eyes and see what he's like. Then all of a sudden, that depression that seemed impossible to overcome changes in times. This is an example, and we could talk a lot about depression. I know there's different types, so don't hear me that or don't email me about that. I'm just saying that depression at large, or whatever the issue is, 7 ways to overcome financial debt, it's like, well, cast your cares on God. Let's look at him. Let's make him known and show, teach through scriptures that are going to really show off God and not settle for something less, something that can be contained within us that we get bored over so quickly. God should not ever be boring. And so when we're enjoying God, we are going to proclaim God. Okay, you got to enjoy the excellencies of Christ first before you show off the excellencies of Christ. If you're not excited about it, you're not going to talk to anyone about it. Okay, but if you are, you will. Because I hear you guys talking to me about stuff too, things you're excited about, okay? It happens. I'm stoked about a lot of things. And they don't have to all be about God, but they're definitely all related to God. Because I love food, and guess who created that, you know? There's all kinds of things that we should be... I'll leave it at that. Are you on mission? That's what I want to say. Are you on mission here at Harvest? We want you to be. If you're not on mission here at Harvest, maybe you're on mission in another church. Great. If they're a disciple-making church after the glory of God, understanding that there are people of God that are to be together in community, growing in their faith, becoming more like Christ, reaching the lost, then awesome. Do that. But we want you here. The church isn't primarily about you. It's really secondarily about you. It's really about God. And when it's about God, he changes you in the process. They kind of go together. But if you get the idea that church is about you, then you'll come and you'll pick and choose how, whatever your preferences are, versus I want a church that wants what God wants on as a priority and then let everything else figure itself out. If those things are true, then everything else can figure itself out. I'm content with that. And that's where we need to get to. And last, we're a people on mission for the glory of God. For the glory of God. And I kind of like the way he finishes this in verse 10. He's kind of reminding us that once you were not a people, okay? See that in verse 10? Once you were not a people. He's talking about the fact that Christians at one point were not Christians. You were not baptized as a baby and became a believer. That's not true. Scripture wouldn't attest to that. You became a believer when you confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. When you received that free gift of grace and said, I want to trust in Jesus, my substitute, who in my place died a death, a torturous death that I deserved to die, He did it in my place so that I wouldn't have to and I could be reconciled to God. When that happens, you're changed. When that happens and you believe in that, you were once not a people, but now you are God's people. Simply by belief, you become part of God's people. He adopts you into his family, Ephesians talks about. See, once you had not received mercy, you were pushing and working and trying to earn it yourself or didn't even care about God, just totally ignorant. Like, whatever, who cares about God? I'll figure it out. I like me. I'm a pretty good God. I do everything my own way anyway. Whatever. God would say, hey, once you had not received mercy, and now you have received mercy. When God provides the very thing we need for our own salvation and our own growth, he gets all the glory, which means he's all the weightiness, all the things that he's deserving of, we ascribe to him, we give to him. See, the glory of God is the chief end both of us individually and the church. See, we exist to glorify God in everything we do. If I were to say, if you were to sum up the Christian purpose in one thought, it would be that we are to glorify God, and I love this part, by enjoying him forever. We're to glorify God by enjoying him forever. Okay? If that's our pursuit, the glory of God, putting him on display, letting him be made much of, okay, we'll find in God's glory that our greatest joy, passion, purpose, and fulfillment are all there. But you got to be willing to go deeper than simply what fits you. Okay, you got to be more willing to go a little bit beyond church Burger King style. You got to be willing to meet in a Rayleigh sometimes, okay? And I'm not saying we're a perfect church. We already talked about that. I'm a sinner, you're a sinner, right? We're going to rub each other. I'm probably going to bother you. I probably did today. You probably didn't like one of the things I've already said, and I'll probably say sorry to you later because I probably did something stupid. It's just going to happen, okay? That's a reality. We're sinners saved by grace. We're going to walk in that. We're going to daily confess our need for the grace of God. But the most important part is, are you in? Does this define you? If you're a believer, are you on mission? If you're in college, I understand it's crazy because you're all over the place, but you are connected. Are you connected somewhere? Are you giving somewhere? Are you a part of a people, or you just show up on Sundays? Are you a taker, 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 taker? Are you willing to roll up your sleeves every once in a while and say, this is my home too, you know? If we're to be a spiritual household, building a solid foundation, it's going to take more than a few guys who kind of are serious about this whole thing. God wants us to all be a part of it. That's why in other verses, he calls us the body of Christ. And it's going to be hard if we're hobbling in with one leg, you know, and we can't, you know, scratch our face because we don't have a hand because the hands are not coming to church and the leg people are, you know, sleeping in. We got a problem. The whole body has to be at work. We've got to care. We have to be on mission. Are you guys on mission? Think about your life. The good news is we'll get you on mission really quick here. We have got like 60 million things for you to do. We've got lots of things in a short amount of time that need to get done, and we want you to be a part of it. So if this is something that resonates with you and you're not quite on board with this, but know you should be, then we'll find a place for you to serve here. We'll find a place for you to get involved here in the slowly growing church. We're not a perfect people. We're a forgiven people. And we're supposed to live life in community. That's why the church exists. That's why we come together corporately. We don't want to get away from that. That's why we'll get together in small groups to do that on an even more intimate level. But that's what the church is, okay? The church is the people of God on mission for the glory of God. And remember, we really, really need each other. We need each other, okay? All right, let me pray for us. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for just an opportunity to talk a little bit about what the church is. And I cannot wait to just continue to dive into your word more, get an opportunity to do that when we get started in our services, Lord. But I do want to just lay that out and describe the fact that Lord, we need you. We need to be reminded of your word because it's so easy. We get so distracted on all these other things that we think about. And we try to make church all about us, and it really should be all about you. And Lord, just help us kind of reorient ourselves today. We're thankful for your word, God. And, you know, we'd ask that you would change us in the ways that you have prescribed in Scripture, and you would call us together to love each other well and to build lasting relationships with forgiveness as a foundation, because the bottom line is we should know going in as a preface that we are sinners by nature and by choice, and we are saved by the grace of God, continually walking in and learning what it looks like to grow and become more like Christ. And we thank you for that privilege and that opportunity to be together and doing that here in Raley's. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.